so great to be with you, man. I've heard so much about this group from Jim and others, and so really an honor to be here today. As you said, my name's Daniel. I grew up in South Carolina. Any other Southerners? No. Low one. Okay. Just kidding. I grew up here. Okay. No. What I want to share with you guys this morning, as I was kind of praying about this, the Lord brought this topic to mind, and I want to share a little bit of my testimony and story, and kind of how I ended up in Boulder, and going all the way back to kind of the beginning. But before I do that, I want to just introduce kind of my theme for this morning and just read a short passage of Scripture. So the kind of title I felt like the Lord gave me to share with you men this morning is Holy Shift. Yeah. Holy Shift. All right. Acts chapter 16. I said, yeah, I'll be careful. I got to do things here that I can't do at church first class. So, Holy Shift. Here we go. Acts 16, verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I think it's an interesting concept that the Holy Spirit was restraining them. He was keeping them from going in this direction that it seemed Paul kind of had in his heart to go. Verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, once again, would not allow them to. Verse 8, so they passed by to Mysia and went down to Troas. All right. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to leave at once for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I love this passage of Scripture. And just that whole idea of a holy shift. So Paul was moving in one direction. He had some plan in his heart, and he was moving towards that plan. But all of a sudden, he experienced what I like to call a divine interruption, where he has this vision of the Macedonia man saying, come over and help us. And all of a sudden, Paul experienced this holy shift moment that altered the trajectory of his life. It altered the trajectory of where God was leading him. It shaped his destiny. It changed the churches he planted, the things he did, simply because the Holy Spirit interrupted him and he was willing to listen. Right? So I define a holy shift as a divine interruption that changes the trajectory of our life or faith. And I know all of us in this room have experienced those holy shift moments. The first one, of course, is when we eventually come to that point where we put our faith in Christ. For me, I was 9 years old. Anyone ever hear of Royal Rangers? Nope. I found a different group. Royal Rangers is like Christian Boy Scouts. I can't remember what denomination it started in, but I started getting, before I was involved in church, I started attending this Royal Rangers as a young man, 8 years old. After about a year of being there, I went on a camping trip with this group, and we sat around the campfire, and our commander, our kind of ranger leader, gave a gospel message. And I felt something as a 9-year-old kid begin to shift in my heart. And that was the night that I prayed and asked Christ to come into my life and to kind of go from there. And so my mom started taking us to church as kids pretty regularly. My dad was very opposed to the church. Like, we'd come home sometimes and we'd be locked out of the house. He was so furious that my mom was taking us to church. Created this huge tension. Obviously, some hurt in his past. I'm pleased to say he's now following the Lord and seeking his heart to Christ. But my mom started taking us to church, and we got really involved in youth group and rangers. And my mom was so open. She was 100% gung-ho, like, love the Lord, and we were going to as well. So when she got saved, when she was out, she got completely saved. All right? One time I heard this word, I would listen to secular music, that was from the devil. And so, anybody ever heard of Poison? The old 80s butt rock band? Yeah. So I was listening to some, boy, I can't wait, these guys, I got a cassette tape. And I remember hiding it, because my mom couldn't know I had this tape, so I remember hiding it kind of under my mattress, between the box spring and the mattress, so she couldn't find it. And one morning, one afternoon, I came home from school, and my mom was standing in my room, pulling the tape out, just like, ripping the tape out of the cassette and praying loud and fervently as I've ever heard anyone pray, kind of cleansing the room, if you will. And but that's a picture of my mom. So she really wanted us to be involved and to love the Lord and to follow Him to a pretty extreme measure at that point. And so when I was 14, I had another kind of moment in my life that kind of really began to alter the trajectory of my life. There was this girl in my youth group who came up to me and told me that there was a new ministry beginning in our town called King's Kids, which is part of Youth with a Mission that Dar's involved with. I didn't know it was connected to Youth with a Mission at the time, but I asked the questions, what is this? And she began to tell me that there would be this group of kids or students from all over the city, many different churches would come together and would give one weekend each month to be discipled, to learn, and to go out and minister in our community. So what do you minister? And she said, well, you're going to do dramas and dances and choreographed worship. You know, like Shine, Jesus, Shine, Fill the Slam of the Father's Glory, you know, all these dance movements, some music. And she's telling about this. And I just thought, that sounds absolutely terrible. There's no way I'm doing that. You know, I was 14. I was way too cool for that. But my sister heard about it as well. I have an older brother, younger sister. And she was very excited. She was one of those kind of, you know, you think like holy, righteous people. You got kind of Billy Graham and my sister, probably right above him. She was super thrilled. And all of a sudden, my mom came a few weeks later after we got these applications. So you had to apply to be part of this team. And my mom came and said, hey, where's your application? I said, oh, Mom, I lost it. So it must not be God's will, right? I didn't know I was Presbyterian back then. It must not be God's will for me to, you know, be part of this team. He said, no, that's silly. I'll get you another application. So I fill out this application. This is her story. I filled it out so bad. I knew there's no way that they would accept me. So questions like, how often do you read your Bible? My answer was, I don't believe this. This is my answer, 14 years old. I don't. It's a book of lies. Right? How often do you pray? Never. Waste of time. Right? This is how I answered the application. And I sent it up, printed the mail. Had to go. I knew where my mom kept the stamps. You know, put it in the mail. And then several days or maybe a week later, my mom asked about the application. And again, Gary Zalas, I need to grow my faith. And she said, you know, where's your application? She said, you know, I'm so excited. I've already sent it off. You know, it's just, I really wanted to check it for grammatical errors. I was thinking, that's the least of your concerns right now. Right? So I sent it off. 3 weeks later, two envelopes come in the mail. One for my sister, one for me. And so I'm getting ready to look so disappointed, right, that I got rejected. I was so excited in my life to be rejected. You know, I was so just looking forward to opening that envelope and pretending to be upset. My sister goes first. She's accepted. She's so excited. And then I open mine, getting ready to see if I can pull a tear out. And all of a sudden it says, dear Mr. Daniel Susan Buck, I'm pleased to let you know that you've been accepted to our King's Kids team. And I was like, what? I was so not prepared for that. I didn't hide it well. And my mom's like, what's the matter? Did you not get it? I'm like, no, I did. What kind of sick cult is this? Right? And so I just freaked out. I said, I don't want to do this. This sounds terrible. And my mom said, I don't care if you do it. Like, are you serious? The only reason I applied is I thought you'd be disappointed and assume I'm going to hell if I don't. And she said, no, it's totally fine. So thank God. So I picked up the phone to call this lady. And that's why I kind of asked if anyone was from the South. Because Southern women, right, have a certain, anybody know some Southern women at least? Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's not a yes. Oh, yeah. Right? It's a kind of matriarchal, mama head, you know, that kind of powerful woman who tells you what you're going to do and what you're not. And so there's this number to call. It says, call this, Miss Betty Leviner, you know, what's her name? And I picked up the phone and I gave her a call and said, if you have any questions, you know, so I can say, I just want to let you know that you sent me the wrong application, or the wrong letter. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I got a letter saying I was accepted. And I spelled my last name for Susan Bach. It's kind of a strange last name. A lot of times I go to the bank and they think my last name's Bach. I'm like, are you Susan? Sure. Just give me my money. And so she goes, no, let me tell you what happened. And she said, we have 25 spaces on this team. And we have more than 50 applications. And I took your application. As soon as I saw it, I thought to myself, here's a young man whose mother's making him apply. But he's like, oh, right. So she threw it in the trash. She threw it in the trash and moved on. And she said something I had never heard before at that time. She said, but the Lord spoke to me. somehow convinced me to come to the first weekend. All right, so just come to the first weekend. If you hate it, you can quit. And I don't know why I said yes. Probably just to get this lady I never met off the phone. And so I agreed to come to the first weekend, and I went there 14 years old with such a horrible attitude. I didn't want to be there. Walked in the door, and there's this little group of, 12-year-old girls in the back practicing their movements to shine Jesus shine. They're all excited to go out to the mall and do this in front of people. And I'm seeing this bad attitude, and all of a sudden I'm standing kind of in the back of the room, and I don't know if I'd call it a holy shift moment, unless it was a shift. But all of a sudden I looked up, and this really attractive girl walked in. And I remember saying, "Lord, I'm here to stay." So honestly, I stayed on that team for the total wrong reason, because this girl was really attractive. Don't act like you've never done something crazy, right, for an attractive girl. And so I thought, okay, I'm gonna do this. And so I stayed for a few months, kind of really still hating it, by being, persuaded by the Spirit or something else to stay. And it was through that team that the Lord really began to cause me to take my faith more seriously. It wasn't just kind of going to church, going to events, being there because my mom told me to. It was I began to own my faith as a teenager in high school and beginning to see how I was discipled through this group. And it was a bunch of guys and gals that were much older that were willing to take their time and invest in the next generation. And they discipled us, they taught us, they trained. Every Friday night we had hours of teaching. Saturday they take us out to do ministry. Sunday we do ministry in a church. And it was really through that as well that God began to birth in me a heart for the nations and a heart for missions. And so when I was 16, coming into my second year of the team, we had a commitment to go on a mission trip. And so I wasn't too thrilled about that idea. And here's why. This is going to be hard to imagine, but use your imaginations for a moment. I used to be really skinny. True story. Small. I was playing football for our high school team. I was a quarterback, but I wanted to be a linebacker. That was my dream. I wanted to get bigger and be a linebacker. And the coach said, "Hey, if you hit the gym really hard this summer, and you eat the right diet, I think you'll get big enough to play linebacker next year." So that's what I needed to do that summer. And so I remember thinking, "Oh, I'm supposed to be going on this mission trip for 2.5 weeks. That's not going to work. That's 2.5 weeks out of the gym, or I can't control my diet. I can't do it." And so I remember going into our February team meeting that weekend and walking up to Miss Betty. My name is Miss Betty. I've got to talk to you. And I walked into the corner and we sat down in a couple of chairs and I said, I don't know how to say this, but the Lord told me I'm not supposed to go on a mission trip this summer. Right? Of course, He didn't. But that's why I thought, she's used that line a lot. The Lord told me, so you have to obey. I said, "The Lord told me not to go. I'm devastated. But as you've taught me, I'm going to listen to the voice of God and I'm not going to go." And she just looked at me and said, "Daniel, you're lying. I just laid down the God card." And she just punched it back in my face. "No, you're lying. God wouldn't tell you that." I said, "No, he did. There was a squirrel and a raccoon." I tried to make up a story, right, about how God told me, not to go. And she said, "Daniel, stop lying. What's really going on?" And so then I told her. And that was one of those things that, gosh, I hate this lady. And she basically said, "It's okay. You don't have to go if you don't want to. But if you choose not to go, this is your last weekend on the team. Because you made a commitment and you're breaking it." 16-year-old kid, that's messed up. Right? Plus, I'm still not making the team now. And so, there's a problem with quitting. I love the team. I love the community. But I thought, okay, that's what it is. That's what we're going to do. And then I put it on football. And so that night, I went to sleep. And I had one of those nights, and maybe some of you have had those nights, where God just messes with you all night long. You ever have one of those nights you know you're being stupid, or you're walking into some games, and God just won't leave you alone, right? And I had this, unsettledness in my heart all night, and I remember waking up and just sensing that God was kind of just messing with me. And I prayed a dangerous prayer. I said, "Okay, Lord, if you want me to go on this trip, just speak to me. Just tell me. This is what you want. I'll do it. I'll give up my plan for the time. But you got to tell me." And I opened the Bible to start our quiet time. And the Bible opened up to Isaiah chapter 6. And I had one verse highlighted. I looked down the page, and verse 8 said, "And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for me? And I said, Here am I. Send me, Lord." And I remember closing the Bible thinking, "Holy was one of those moments where the Word of God just spoke to me in such a powerful way, and I knew I was supposed to go. And so I went, and I apologized, and I told Miss Patty, I'm like, I'm going on this trip. God spoke to me this morning. I finally understood what that meant. God spoke to me. I got to do this. And she goes, I know. What are you doing? I knew you were going to come around. Like, I know you're supposed to be on the trip. And it's just one of those things. She's so annoying. She's so right. Doesn't get heat that when women are always right. And so I said, okay, here we go. And I went on that trip, and that trip was a holy shift moment in my life. You see, up until that point, my desire was to be in law enforcement. I wanted to become a narcotics agent or something like that. And I wasn't a kid who changed my mind. I always wanted to do that. But it was on that trip, my first mission trip, we went to San Diego and Tijuana, Mexico, and just seeing God move, because I made myself available to this punk kid, you know, from South Carolina, seeing God do stuff. And that trip changed the trajectory of my life. I remember praying one night after a ministry time, saying, Lord, if you want me to do this forever, I'm in. I'm in. And it started there. And that was a holy shift moment through my life. As I'm sure through yours, you can look back and identify what are those holy shift moments where you experience a divine interruption that shifts the trajectory of your life. And sometimes it's not just the trajectory of our life. Sometimes it's the depth of our faith. Just recently, we went through a really difficult time with your family, watching my mom slowly lose a battle with cancer. And she passed away last year. And this is a woman who's a spiritual giant who saw tons of miracles. We saw God move in powerful ways. But for whatever reason, he chose not to heal my mom. And though we both seen these crazy different healings and knew God was able to do it. And I remember God taking me through this process where so much, all I wanted was to understand, God, why didn't you heal my mom? Why didn't you heal her? Why? And in the course of this was more gradual than sudden, but I experienced a holy shift where God began to show me that understanding what God does isn't nearly as important as trusting who God is. There's a holy shift in my faith. So some holy shifts are sudden and change the trajectory of our life. Some holy shifts are gradual and deepen our faith. But either way, we've all had those moments, right, where God has shifted us. And so kind of how I wanted to encourage you this morning is to think, what are those moments in your life? As you would stop and reflect and look back, what are those moments where God just suddenly showed up? You experienced a divine interruption that shifted your life in a significant way. And maybe there was a player involved, maybe you have a Miss Betty in your life. And just the other day, I sent her a note, just said, thank you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for seeing something in me I couldn't see myself. Thank you for pushing me, for challenging me. This lady, I just poured into my life and totally impacted me in a major way. And so as you think back over your life, maybe there's someone that you may want to say thank you to. But even more than that, what I felt to leave you've been with this morning is a challenge.